true strength is what we're doing. And to understand, and one reason why, and you know, and praise God that when you connect in into studies, and this is what you should almost demand from any service you're going to, is an understanding of what the word is saying, you know, what the word is teaching, because what you want to learn, I might have the wrong one here. Here it is. All right. So what you want to make sure you're following is what God is saying, not what you know, some religious group put together. You want to make sure you're being obedient to him. Just like this topic of true strength, we got to make sure we're being strong in the right way. Wait, give me a second. I got to change the setting real quick. Okay, so great. Okay, so now, where we last stopped off of how do we access true strength, so let me do a review. Oh, we did that last week, didn't we? How do we access true strength? We did that whole section. Let me see. No, what keeps us? Okay, no, we didn't. All right, so true strength, Christians are required to be strong, plain and simple. There's no way around it. We are supposed to be strong. But the question has to be, what does that mean? And you should ask that question with everything, because you'll hear Christians say stuff like, well, I'm told to love. But then the problem is, what does love mean? And you'll see some Christians giving this wishy-washy human emotional thing, which has nothing to do with love, and we'll mistake it for love. You know what I mean? And until we know the true answer, remember, he is the way, the truth, and the life, we're going to walk around with a lie that we titled with what he says to be. So some people who think they're strong really are not. Hopefully you'll get that. And it gives us access on what it means to be strong. So we see that Christians are meant to be strong. But one thing he keeps telling us over and over again is he is our strength. And waiting on him and depending on him, every ounce, everything that comes from him is our strength. We get that strength by going into his word and applying what he says, despite our surroundings, the outcome, or whatever. Why? Because we're trusting in our strength. Why does he put us in circumstances that look like they won't work, but gives us instructions that look like it's going the opposite way, to see if we truly trust in him, our true strength? You understand that? You understand that those that are strong by the world standards will fall. We see some very powerful people right now, and I can almost assure you, based on what the Bible says, majority of them are going to hell. And I'm not saying it to be mean. It's the fact of their strength is based on something that's very weak and very temporary. And because they're living by that, they're usually away from God. So you got to be very careful not to get misled by what the world calls strength, and not get true strength. Our spirit is strong and our flesh is weak, so we must be spiritual. We do fruit every year to teach everyone that you must be spiritual. Understand what spiritual is. So then we asked last week, what keeps us weak? The weakest are those that are actually strong in the world, as I just said. Remember, because, you know, Jesus made that very clear when he says, my power is made perfect in weakness. He tells us the only thing we need is his grace. You know what I mean? Where you are based in the world measures strength is meaningless. Like if I follow the world's way of strength, and once again, I don't want to remove somebody from not going to school, not doing better down here. But when I make it my source, when I think my career, my frame of mind, my physical strength, when I invest more in that, it has some value, but it's only temporary. As you're going to see later, only godliness has all power and it covers all the above. But see, we'll usually push away God to invest in that other stuff. And it may make you feel good, it may look good, but that's it. It's done. When you die, it's done and it's gone and it's not doing anything for you. See, worldly strength leaves us vulnerable. That's why Satan has no problem giving us all the power on earth, because you're going to be following him and you're going to be truly weak, and you've already left the only true strength you have. You understand that? So I have to consciously not depend on my flesh. So it's easier for a person who doesn't have talent, doesn't have strength, just to depend on God. So they actually got it better than a person who has these talents and these things, because we'll tend to lean on ourselves. You know how many times I've seen people who have a good smart, or whatever it may be, maybe a street smart, maybe a book smart, maybe a family smart, whatever that may be. And you'll see them using that over what the Bible said. You know how many times people have kids and they think because they have kids, they think they're expert with kids. And they'll ignore raising their kids based on what the Bible says because they think they're the expert. And they still have to answer to God for that because they're being weak, but it seems strong to them. Now, using our circumstances as a basis for our strength is a huge mistake. If you remember when I said that, because like what I said, the rich count their riches as their strength. And that's bad for them because they're going to keep depending on their riches, which keeps them truly weak. Why? Because they're not depending on the true strength of God. And the poor look at their lack as if they are weak, and they're missing the fact that, no, you're really strong. But if I just realize my poorness, I'll always talk about how I'm being stepped on, how life is bad, or I steal, or I do something crazy. Why? Because I'm poor, instead of relying on my true strength, which is God. So when we get false teaching, that's the biggest thing that weakens Christians. And that's why we're at today, because we have so much false teaching right now. Church right now is stagnant because we just get this teaching. As we were talking about the right hand of fellowship, which is a nice gesture, we made that more spiritual than we did baptism. We made that more spiritual than we did what truly getting saved is, what it made that more spiritual than actually walking in reverence. So understand that God gives true strength to those that fear him, not to those that are strong based on the world. So if I want actual true strength, I have to show my reverence for him because he is my true strength and he'll provide it to me. So how do we do it? That's where we last left off. So now, if we recognize we are weak and trust in God, he will give us true strength. I just gave you the answer. Well, not me, the Bible did. And we're going to break it down to show you. He shows in Isaiah 40, 29 through 31, it says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Do you understand that? So when I recognize, you know, that's why Jesus calls on those who are weary and burdened, come to me and I'll give you rest. It's not that there are a group of people that are weary and burdened. It's those who recognize, hey, man, we're all weary and burdened. What's disturbing is we still have people walking around thinking they're good people, thinking they're strong people, thinking they, you know, have a lot to offer. Something's great about them. But it's not until a person goes, I have nothing to give and I am nothing. Now, God's like, now come to me. Why? Because you're going to accept everything from him because all I need is his grace. Do you understand that? He says in verse 30, even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. He says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Now, remember I said definitions, because you have a lot of people that go, but I've been doing that and I'm still weak. Well, then you weren't hoping in the Lord. You had something else that you labeled hope in the Lord. That's a study in itself. How do I hope in the Lord? He says they will soar, and people love to repeat this line. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And many will say this, and then they'll go, but why am I still feeling this way? Because my hope in the Lord is going to be a lifestyle. Now, the way you'll show a person that has hope in the Lord is they completely are going out of their way to gain and understand God, and they're completely going out of their way to understand and apply God. That's hope in the Lord. Even when everything fails, when you did it, you continue to do it. That's hope in the Lord. You understand that? You still have Christians that are, God, I'll do this. And after a while, I'm done. I did all this. You're not giving me this. And this didn't happen. And this didn't work out. And blah, blah, blah. And we make up all these answers. But we just show we don't hope in the Lord. So we're trying to rely on our own strength. We're trying to, keep our own stamina up and all that. And we can't do it. So that's why I have down here, we must be broken in order to become strong. And the best way to understand brokenness is the understanding of riding the horse. Now, the horse in the Bible shows this was meant to be ridden. OK, so if anybody thinks that's cruelty, it's not the horse. You see it even the different ones riding the horse in the spiritual way they're riding the horse. The horses are meant to be ridden. However, you get a new horse and you get to ride it and they trying to throw you off their back. So they have to be broken so they could be used what they were made for. That's the same thing with us. You understand that? So he's getting on our backs and we're throwing him off. So we have to be broken so we can be used what we are made for. So Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Now, if we can just go there, then we can be used by God. Unfortunately, we don't. If we're being honest, we might accept that we're somewhat bad, but that "what a wretched man I am," very few reach that point. And because of that, you're going to keep getting in the way. You're going to be that horse that'll say, "Okay, I'll let you ride me for a little while, but I'm going to throw you off eventually because I don't want nobody on my back." Not realizing that's your job. That's what you're meant for. He had already in store what we were going to be used for before we were born. Remember, the world grows up to find out what they want to be. A Christian grows up to find out what he made me to be. Do y'all get this? So brokenness is just, okay, tell me what you want me to do, because I am here 100% for you. See, that's why I have a true dependence on God will be displayed by brokenness. Okay. In Psalm 51, 16 through 17 says, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings." Now, why is that there? Because there's a verse that keeps saying that. That's was something that Samuel had to say to Saul, if y'all remember. Because remember, people who worship other, things out there that they call gods and they give sacrifices, their supposed gods want the sacrifice. They want things dead and they like it and they enjoy it. Sacrifices in our case is a replacement for what we should have done in the first place. You understand that? So the reason why sacrifices, when they did sacrifices before, and why Jesus had to die, is because we messed up and something blood had to be made for that mess up. Because, the wages of sin is death. So he allowed animals to be in the place of us. That's just more of his mercy. And he's saying, "I don't delight in sacrifices. I had to do that or else you would be dead. I don't take pleasure in burnt offerings because I had to do that or you would be dead." But watch what he says here in verse 17. The sacrifices of God are what? Watch this. "A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise." Why? Because when a person has a broken spirit, you'll never be entitled. I see kids today that still, you'll tell them, "Just do what I tell you." "Yeah, but I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that and I didn't mean to." And you're like, "No, just do." And too bad today, because they're getting worse and we're getting worse. We live entitled. But when a person has a broken spirit, it's just, "What would you like me to do?" The minute he tells you to do it, you do it. It wouldn't be, "Well, God, why do I have to do that? And they don't have to do this. And how come I have to?" We've gotten so entitled. Our spirit is based on us. Our heart, or which is our purpose, has a whole lot of us in it. And he has to then allow stuff to happen in our lives to break us. And unfortunately, there's too many people that their hearts and their spirits won't be broken. And yeah, they're doomed. And that's what he's trying to show us. We got to become weak in order to gain the true strength. And if you don't do it, because he loves you is why he breaks you. Because he loves us is why he does what he does to us. Now, we are to devote all of our strength to God and allow him to be our strength displayed. Think about that. Okay. So I don't invest all of what I think I have in strength or abilities or whatever into making Keith better. I invest in everything I have into God and allow him to make me what he wants me to be. It shows in Mark 12, 29 through 31, this is the most important one, answered Jesus, is this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Now, he's showing the true love of God. Remember, I told you people say they love, and usually their version of love is because they sang a pretty song or because they did something nice on Christmas or Easter, or because, you know what I mean? And God's saying, "No, you don't love me." Because remember, he says, "If you love me, you'll do what I command." What he's not saying there is, "Do what I command and show me you love me." He was like, no, if you truly love me, you'll do what I command. That's going to be the evidence of those who truly love him. When he says, "My righteous one will walk by faith," they're going to be the ones that are doing what he said. Period. Not somebody who says, "Yeah, I love you, God, but." You understand that? And the only way to do that is loving him with all. as he goes down, your heart, which is your purpose. So my entire purpose has to be God. I may miss out on a promotion. I may miss out on that relationship. I may miss out on this whatever money, but it's all for God. So I'm doing the right thing with all your soul. That's what you are. Everybody is a soul. You understand that? All right. So your soul is what you are. So I give him all of me. Every ounce of me goes to him. So even through my marriage, I have to love my wife to love God. So I love my wife the way God tells me to love my wife, not my way. We can write all these love songs and all this, and that sounds great, but I better follow what he said in order to show in my love for my wife is showing it to God with all your mind. That's the paths you take. Your mind is the ways you go, the why you go there, when you go there, the how you go there, so on and so forth. Okay, not the why. The why is the purpose. Okay, that's your heart and all that. And then all your strength. That's what everything that he does. That's why some people have a talent and they can, have you ever seen some people are born and they're just naturals? You ever see that? Some people are just certain things they just can do very easy. And you got other people, they got to work hard just to get average. And that's not bad. That's what God gave them. So then the people who have the talent, they're truly supposed to go, how do I use this for him? Their strength has to be, how do I use this for God? Not go out there and let me shine, because you got a lot of people that we have statues of, a lot of people that are going to remember in books, but they're going to be eternity somewhere else because their strength was to build up them and we're nothing. Y'all get this? It's very important that y'all got this. And that's why he then throws the second. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So he's putting emphasis on these because I'm supposed to give all to him in order to truly become strong. Why? Because he says, my grace is sufficient. All you need is my grace. Don't get it twisted. You might be very talented and have access to a whole lot of things. Don't let that make you go astray. Now, all ministries and gifts are to be used totally depending on and glorifying God. We're doing a sermon we're doing right now. It's glorifying God. And remember, it's displaying him. So some he'll give less talents and some he'll give more. And even in the parable of the talent, which is talking about life, each of the talents means life. But if you notice, he gave one 10, another one he gave 5, another one he gave 2, another one he gave 1. And he's not favoritism, because we know our God doesn't play favorites. He's saying, this is the lot or the life I gave you to serve me. Now, that means it could be mean responsibility. It can be talents. It can be situations. But he gave you that. And if you ever read those parables, it said each according to his ability. What does that mean? So this is what God made you for. So what he gave you was what you were made for. Okay, so I'm supposed to use these to glorify him. Let's read this in 1 Peter 4:10-11. It says each one should use whatever gift he has received to what? Serve others. Okay, now remember, just to make everybody understand, what you're born with is a talent. Only Christians get gifts. I know sometimes we'll hear somebody sing or see somebody do something that's not a Christian. They'll do it so beautifully and we'll go, man, that's such a beautiful gift. No, it's a talent. Okay, so people, all human beings have talents. Only Christians have gifts. Okay, so the gift is to that you receive or to serve others. And he says, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So it's going to come in different forms. And they're made solely to serve God. So that means I got to do it based on him, through him. It says, and then he kind of breaks it down. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. That's the key. I don't want them to say, man, that Keith is great. I blew it because I made it about me. I need to display him. And that's when you get the fruit of the spirit and all this other stuff attached to this person who's great. And you never see their greatness in them. You always see the greatness of God. Remember, the biggest person who made that mistake was Samson. You know, knew the strength and everything. That was all God until he took the Holy Spirit away. Then he was just a regular man. And that's what we all need to view it as. If Samson was that strong, then we'd hear Rocky music. And next thing you know, he'd be strong again. But no, his strength had to come back from God. You understand that in the end. The key to it is it's from God. God could take it away tomorrow. Whatever strength or talent, money, thing you depend on right now, one step, he could take it away. But So we're to take what he gave us to glorify him. It says, to him be the glory and the power. How often? Forever and ever. Amen. Okay. Churches need to be strengthened in faith. Acts 16 verse 5 says, so the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. Now, I know a lot of people will point more at the daily in numbers. We should have a whole bunch of people in church. That's not the problem. The problem is this, because churches are not strengthened in faith. We're strengthened more in what we want. People are, we have more itching ear churches than we have actually faith, true faith-based churches. Faith-based churches is, I'm going to give you the word. I'm going to give you the understanding of the word. You're going to come craving the word, and we're going to learn and grow in the word, and we're going to grow as a body. That's strengthened by faith. Why do you have people coming to Bible study? Why are they going to church? And I don't care if it's snowing. I don't care if it's raining. You'll tell your work, okay, I got this stuff to do, but man, I got to get, you know, this is important. I have something important I have to do. This, you would not let anything trump your growing and understanding in the word. Why? Because your strength is in faith. Reason why we lack faith is because we have so many other things in our lives that go before or are equal to God. Think about it. We'll invest a lot into our jobs. We'll invest a lot into our homes, into our relationships, into our comforts, into our desires. Invest a ton of it into it. But when it comes to faith, and now remember, don't mistake faith just for reading, because you have a lot of people that are good at studying. You can study, but if I don't apply it, there's no faith. Faith without works is dead. James, go back, read James 2. You'll see that. So you can do all the studying you want, but if I'm not studying to understand, to apply, I'm doing absolutely nothing. In other words, I'm just as weak as I was before I studied. Y'all get this? So understand, the entire purpose of the church service is to strengthen the church. That's why he said in 1 Corinthians 14:26, is, what then shall we say, brothers, when you come together, everyone has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Watch this. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. I think when the charismatic movement came in and they really put a lot of emphasis on tongues, people did it more on, look at me, look how holy I am, less on encouraging others. And wrote, you know, 1 Corinthians 14 even broke that, how that whole aspect is supposed to work when it comes to tongues, and how tongues can strengthen others. It said, if there's not an interpreter, keep it to yourself. But you got people that were more prideful in this gift, and I'm going to flaunt it. And that's what ended up hurting us. It didn't strengthen. I went to a church where the choir, you had to speak in tongues before you could be on the choir, because that group believed you had to speak in tongues in order to show you Jehovah's Holy Spirit. That's not true if anybody believes that. The Bible does not state that. And I will do that again if y'all want to talk about, show you where I can show you that in the Bible. Unfortunately, a lot of people not only were not on the choir, but they were crushed because they thought they were not saved. And you could just sit there and watch. Some of the people that were on choir were more prideful. In other words, they did not have the fruit of the Spirit. While you had these people that were crushed and they did have the fruit of the Spirit, there was something confusing going on here. It was a man-made rule that really caused a lot of people to fall. And we get dangerous when we incorrectly use the word that he gave us. And it's clear in the word. If you just did a study on tongues, you would see that. It's a no-brainer. You understand that? It really breaks down. But I'm showing you that if it's used wrong, that's why he says in the end here, a tongue or interpretation, all of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. Then you'll read earlier in 1 Corinthians 14, how then do I use tongues? And he explained it. Same thing with prophets. He explained how this is how you do it. There you go. That's our answer. So why did man keep adding to it? Because once again, man likes to puff up himself. Man likes to add himself into it, and we just make it weaker. Okay? And that's what becomes dangerous. Now, when we realize Christ, who is God, is our true strength, we can learn to overcome and do anything. Okay? That's why in Philippians 4, 11 through 13 says, now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. So now, usually when you hear somebody use the word content, they're usually talking about when they don't have. Think about that. So worldly version of content is, well, I don't have it, but I'll be happy with what I have. That's their version. So they still take what they have and they have to add that in there. But look what he says here. He says, learned in whatever state I am to be content. He says, I know what it is to be abased, and I know what it is to be abound, to have and to have not. He's saying, everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And watch what he says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what is he saying here? True contentment means we're not situational people. God should be able to put you anywhere, give you anything, or put you somewhere that you don't like and take away everything, and you still glorify him. That's why that verse in Ecclesiastes says, you know, the race doesn't go to the swift, and the whatever doesn't go to the strong, and so on and so forth. It says, but time and chance happen to them all. So some people say, so is that luck? No, because how your life turns out, what life you have down here, is not the good or the bad. It's the situation you're in. Think about that. It's just the position he puts you in. And remember, I used the example of, it's like a person who joins the armed forces. Some are going to be sent to some lands that you may enjoy. Some are sent to lands that you may not enjoy. Either which way, you're going there to serve. You're not going there to enjoy, to have a vacation. You're going there to serve. So as a Christian, contentment means, okay, God, give me what you want to give me. Take away what you want to take away. Put me where you want to put me. Have me be what you want me to be. I'm going to serve you. Do y'all get this? We allowed Satan to do what he did to Eve and go, Keith, don't you want more in life? You should have more than this. I still remember when Sister Lisa went to a chiropractor, and he was a Christian. And there was, you know, there was something she was doing in the church at the time. And I remember he made the comment, yeah, you should be moving up from that. Now, what was disturbing is when I heard that, I had to explain to her, and I was telling her that there is no moving up. Anything you do for the Lord is glory for the Lord. There's a verse where it even talked about some of the lesser things that the world may call lesser, or some of the greater things that God wants you to do. You know, some people think, oh, I'm going to first be the usher, and then I'm going to move up to be, you know, children's church. Then I'm going to move up to be, you know, deacon. Then I'm going, and they think it's a moving up. No, you're called. You may have some people that position that they're in, that situation that they're in the church of the body, may be in there all their lives because that's what they were called to do. And in no way are we supposed to lessen that. Do you understand that? Because I'm doing it to glorify him, not to glorify me. And we make that mistake sometimes, holding people on pedestals, you know, who do things that really stand out, and overlooking the people that hold things down. I praise God for the group, the board, and the people that maintain and take care of the church in that, to allow the word to come out. I'm just a part of it. That's all. It's not about me. You know what I mean? You know, and so I praise God for them. And that's huge in the word that you get. And we got to keep that in mind. We'll read this last one, the Holy Spirit, and then we'll close. Now, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And what he means, and people use this wrong, and I'll read that, and then I'll explain how we use it wrong, and then we'll stop there and see if there's any questions. Romans 8, 26 to 27 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and words that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. What does that mean? Now, a lot of times we'll read that when we are weak in ourselves. So I want the Holy Spirit to help make me strong. And that's usually a weakness based on me, based on what I call strong. So I got the whole thing mixed up. I'm really confused and all messed up. He's letting us know there are times we're weak and we don't even know it. But when I'm living and trusting in God, that's where the Spirit will intercede for me. And he'll do it. He'll pray for me in accordance with God's will. What that means is, there are times I'm praying for something that I want, and the Holy Spirit's going, no, don't give it to him. Or he's saying, yes, give it to him. Why? Because he knows I'm weak. Y'all catch that? He knows whatever I'm asking for, it's going to take me outside of God's will, or it's going to take. That's why two people can pray for the same thing. It's not what you prayed for. It's where you're at in God's will. Right? Right? And he may give me that something, and that may be the main thing that takes me away from him. Something to think about. So in him, making us strong, that's where I have to really understand what strength is. So he intercedes for us to stay within God's will. And God's will may not always be desirable, but it's always right. With that, think about that. God willing, we will. Oh, wait a minute. I just got a little bit more. All right. We'll do this a little bit more. So hang tight. I apologize. We're going to go over because I didn't want to leave this little bit and go for it. So finishing up, we must realize our true strength is our weakness. Okay. Our true strength is our weakness. 2 Corinthians 11:30-31 says, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. He says, verse 31, the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. So this point he's putting here is the more I really look at what I'm not, the more I can be used by God. The reason why we get messed up is because we keep talking about what we are. And we almost think, well, God, how come I didn't get in the game? I'm better than him, and I play better than this person. He goes to the bench. He wants that person that will go out there and, Keith, I'm putting you over here. And nobody likes that position. You're like, amen. I just want to serve you is what we have to live for. See, understand, Jesus became weak to become strong. 2 Corinthians 13:4 says, for to be sure, he was crucified in weakness. What that means, he was us. He was a man. Okay, yet he lives by God's power. So his life was 100% depending on God. Remember, he says, I do exactly what my Father tells me. Huge. It says, likewise, we are weak in him. You understand that? Yet by God's power, we live with him to serve you. All right. So the disciples are even throwing that out of, we were beat down and everything we go through and you know how the world looks at us. Yeah, it says, but by God's power, we live with him to serve you. Their weakness was a strength to serve. This is powerful. It's something that we all need to live to be and to glorify him. Now, God will allow us at times to become weak in order to become strong. And y'all know this, and we're going to break this down and I'll explain it. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10 says, to keep me from becoming conceited. Now, do you notice this here? Remember, I said how the Holy Spirit sometimes will go against what I want. And that's it's to actually save me. It says to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to do what? To torment me. Now, what's so important about this is this thing that was given to him. He doesn't tell us what it is. He just labels it as a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan. The reason why he doesn't tell us, because you know how we are. We'll take that one word and we'll think, oh, man, that's what the thorn is. I have a thorn. What we don't realize is this thorn represents, and we're going to show you what it represents, okay? And that's why it's so important for us to know what this is. But he says it was given to him to torment him. Remember I told you about that breaking, that where you got to be broken. Why? He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. He's saying, I need Paul to get rid of Paul. He said, Keith, I need to get rid of Keith. There's a lot of us that think we're truly following God, but there's still so much of us. There's some basic things that the word's telling us, and we're totally ignoring it because we think I got it. I understand it. I'll go into marriages and say, okay, husbands, you know, you got to love your wives, and wives, you got to submit to your husbands, and you understand what that means. Yeah, yeah, I got it. And they'll still do it their own way. But they're still thinking, yeah, I'm trusting in God. Are you? So you are doing exactly what the word is saying. But Paul got it when he says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And I should have put here, so that. I should have put that bold. He was like, I'm going to look more at my weaknesses so that I get full access to Christ's power. A lot of us want Christ to enhance our power instead of us just getting his power. It says, that is why for Christ's sake, I delight in. Now, this is what the thorn represents. Weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties. Y'all get this? And these all represent different things that we go through that torment us. Things that we think are straight from Satan. We usually say the enemy's trying to get to me when we go through these things. You notice that? Weakness is actually talking about mental and physical sickness. You look that up. This same word, this same Greek word, is what was used in what Jesus would heal some of the people. So yes, he's saying sometimes some of us are going to have this for the purpose in glorifying God. Insults is when they're going to say stuff against your character. They're going to hurt your feelings. It's going to feel like bullying. I tell my granddaughter all the time, you got to let some of that stuff bounce. In fact, you got to let all of that stuff bounce. The less I let it affect me, the more it has strength over me. I mean, the less it has strength over me. Sorry about that. Then you have hardships, and that's moments within your life. There's certain times where you had a bad day or you had a bad moment. You had a bad project, a bad group of people. That's what hardships are. And then you have persecutions. You did everything God told you, but it seems like you're getting trouble for it. And then difficulties. And like I said, hardships and difficulties, I always mix the two up because one of them means certain times. One of them means a season in which you're going through a hard moment, a hard time in your life. While hardships are, you're going through regular life, but this day was bad or a certain situation. So one of the, you know, mix between two. But that's why he made it and ended it with, when I am weak, then I am strong. So sometimes God has to do this to us in order for us to truly become strong. Only spiritual people can comprehend this. Because a lot of us are going to be so weak, we're like, God, I don't get it. But I'm going to receive it. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9 says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered. Now, I know some people say, and you've heard the statement, God will not put on more than us than what we can handle. That's not what the Bible says. God will give us so much more than what we can handle. And what I'm about to read shows us this. Let me just make sure you understand what he said. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle, and he will strengthen you to get away from it and provide a way out. That's tempted. However, the burdens and the stuff we have in life, the reason why he allows us to have more is because I wasn't supposed to be carrying it in the first place. Look what it says here. He says, the hardship we suffered in the province of Asia, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even life. Did you see this part? Far beyond our ability to endure. That means it was more than I could bear. He's saying that it was far beyond what we could deal with. We could not do it to the point where we wanted to die. He says, indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. We were to the point where I can't take it. But watch what he says. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. A lot of times what tends to go wrong is we tend to live relying on ourselves, and we want God to make us strong, not us strong in him. A lot of us are extremely weak because we keep searching for our fleshly strength. So finally, Jesus fully understands and experiences our weakness. So don't feel like he doesn't get it. Hebrews 4:14-16 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. And some people use this wrong, where they're like, I can approach the throne boldly. All that means is, I know I have somebody to understand, is what this means. I know Christ understands me. It says, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Please understand and access this true strength, but you got to first get rid of the false strength in order to truly become strong.